In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As you know, on the fifth Sunday of Lent in the new calendar, the practice of the old calendar, which of course is Passion Sunday today, is to veil the images. Anything that is to be venerated is to be veiled as an indication of what occurs in the Gospel for Passion Sunday in the traditional Mass. And that has to do with this, the passage where our Lord was arguing with the Jews, including scribes, Pharisees, chief priests, laymen, even people that were believers in Christ, at this point were starting to argue with him. And our Lord was ultimately positing the fact that he is the truth. But ultimately, he says who he is, and this is what infuriates them. He says to them, when they say the reality of who their father is, and our Lord says that Satan is their father, and our Lord calls them liars. Again, when you read the passages of Scripture, the pot-smoking hippie Jesus that so many Catholics embrace does not exist. And the fact that Jesus was always nice and gentle and kind, he called the Pharisees and these Jews liars. He told them they were sons of Satan. He called them brood of vipers. It is a shame that people have taken that reality of nice as though it's a virtue. Remember, it comes from the Latin word that means stupid. And it's only in modern times that it's come to mean something that is agreeable. There's nothing nice about Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And so he establishes who he is when he says that he has knowledge of the Father, and only he knows the Father. And he says, Abraham's heart was proud to see the days of my coming. He saw it and rejoiced to see it, indicating that Abraham, of course, is not dead in the sense that is the Sadducees would believe there's no afterlife. He is aware of what Christ is doing by virtue of what's being communicated to him. And we already know at the Transfiguration, both Moses and Elijah were speaking with Jesus, and they were not yet in heaven, so no doubt they would inform Abraham of what was going on in his soul. So our Lord is saying that Abraham rejoiced to see his coming. He, who is the Messiah, the Christ. And the Jews respond, have you seen Abraham, you who are not yet 50 years old? And Jesus said to them, believe me, before ever Abraham came to be, I am. And then they took up stones to throw at Jesus, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Jesus hid himself. They were going to kill him because he used the tetragrammaton, the holy name. And in fact, in the Gospel of John, he uses it a number of times. Ego sum in Latin, ego eimi in Greek, I am who am, the tetragrammaton, as described from the Hebrew usage of never putting the vowels down and never saying it. And he says who he is, and he tells them the truth, and they reject it. And so this is a question I would pose, and perhaps the Church allows us the opportunity for this proposition because of the practice, especially in the new calendar where the Gospel is never communicated. So it adds a deeper sense of mystery, perhaps, in the sense that you see the images hidden, save, of course, the images for the Stations of the Cross, which we do on Fridays. Our focus is entirely on the crucifixion, because most Catholics, because they embrace the agreeable, nice, pot-smoking hippie Jesus, only look to the resurrection as the point. But the resurrection has no meaning without our Lord's suffering and death. But here's the key for your consideration, because what I've endeavored to do during this Lenten season, as I do every Lenten season, but in more earnest this year, if you have been listening to me and been doing what I've been suggesting you're doing, then you're at a point where there's sort of something quite off-center. Because if you detach from the world as I called you to, and attach yourself to the things of God, then you see there's something not quite right in the world. And therefore, this whole reality of the covered images this year makes a lot more sense. Add to that, last year at this time, you were not able to come to Mass. And yet, are you different this year now that you've been able to come to Mass, when perhaps you'd be the very people complaining that you couldn't go to Mass last year? Have you taken for granted the reality of the Mass? Because that's part of what the discomfiture should be. If you've detached yourself from the world, then you can see more objectively that there is a tremendous ascendancy of evil, both in the world and, yes, even in the church. If you're detached, you see it. If you're attached to the world, you don't. And so this is the danger for your consideration before it's too late. Because if you are not open to the graces, the profound graces that God sends during the Easter Triduum, then there will be no spiritual advancement for you. There will be no greater awareness for you. There will be no ability to cooperate with God's grace and to see a real transformation within yourself, because you're too attached to the things of the world. Jesus hid himself. In this context, the commentators and the church fathers of old make it clear. He just disappeared. It was either divine providence, God the Father doing it, God the Holy Spirit doing it because they didn't want him to die yet, or God the Son doing it himself. The bottom line is they were going to stone him to death. It was not his time. And that shows you how proactive the Christ is by virtue of his crucifixion. Those who love the pot-smoking hippie Jesus see him as a revolutionary and a victim of the man. The reality is, Christ is never passive on the cross. Everything happened deliberately, and he experienced every ounce of pain, not out of love for you, but love for God the Father, which then translated to a perfect love for you. Again, the proponents of the pot-smoking hippie Jesus believe that Jesus is just there for them, to make them feel good, to give them high sentimentality. Not so. Not so. But consider, Jesus hides himself. He's done it before, remember? When his own people in Nazareth, the people he grew up with, forced him up to the top of a cliff and tried to throw him off. Scripture says he just passed through them. It doesn't mean he pushed his way through. He used his divine power and passed through them. We also see the reality of our Lord disappearing when, remember the multiplication of the loaves and fishes? The people decided that he was the Messiah they wanted, the Messiah that was going to be the Protestant Messiah who gives them the gospel of wealth, the gospel of ease, the gospel of material prosperity. They wanted to make him king, because he gave them bread and fish. This is why I want a king. This is why I want an estate to take care of us, to do everything so that we can do nothing. Christ disappeared again. In that case, he never even told the apostles where he was going. They had to wait until he came back. Christ makes it clear to us that if we refuse to understand him, if we refuse to be docile, if we refuse to listen, he withdraws. He withdraws. You know, I hear some people complain in my nearly 24 years as a priest of, Jesus doesn't do this for me, Jesus doesn't do that, or, I don't understand, as though Jesus is at fault. There is some truth to the reality that he withdraws and he hides himself. But they're the ones that don't want to penetrate the deeper mystery. They don't want to go further and make the effort. This is why our Lord spoke in parables, remember? So that those who listened had to make an effort to understand what he was saying. and had to trust those whom he put in authority over them, the apostles, their successors, the bishops, and those who work for the bishops in the parish churches, the pastors, the priests. This was a means by which they would discover the truth, but they had to make an effort. They had to make an effort. They had to make an effort. And so when you consider this Lenten season thus far, have you made an effort? Have you really lived differently this Lent? Have you spent, as you're supposed to, this 40 days of Lent, in particular this year, detaching from the things of the world more than usual? Recognizing that throughout the year you're always attached to the world. Why not give our Lord 40 days and 40 nights where you actually put him first? With, of course, the goal being that you cooperate with grace, then you'll do that the rest of the year. Because if you haven't made the effort, it might be that Christ has withdrawn from you. Maybe he's disappeared. Maybe the spiritual life doesn't have any meaning or direction for you because you've spent all your time focusing on the world, focusing on money, focusing on friendships, focusing on love, focusing on anything other than God himself, who is perfectly revealed to us in the second person in the incarnation, the Christ. The whole point of Lent, it was for you to do that. And so if you have done it, then you are at a place where the world seems a bit ajar because you're more cognizant of the antics of the evil one, both within and outside of the church. And in this case, then, Christ is not far from you. In fact, Christ is closer to you if you made the effort. And so you recognize that the veil over the statues indicates that which is put over grace by the world, by the devil. That is to say, you can see, even though there is evil overshadowing the church, the anti-church has risen and has overshadowed the true church, you know that Christ is still in his church. You have total confidence in him despite the chaos in the church. And as you see the reality of the world becoming more and more immoral and amoral and promoting sin at the highest levels of government and about to force it down the throats of Americans, including an act from Congress that restricts religious freedom to the nth degree, the veil covers what once used to be visible and clear, but you know if you are attached to Christ that he is the Lord of all history. He is victorious already. And therefore we have nothing to fear. He will give us the grace to endure what is difficult, or he'll give us the grace to be witnesses, yes, to be martyrs, or he will give us the grace to be at the place where we're supposed to be the faithful remnant. Whatever his choice for us, we have confidence in him, but only if you're detached from the world. If you put all your confidence in money and all the efforts you make towards making money, all the efforts you make towards friendships, all the efforts you make towards entertainment, you have no confidence in Christ because you don't know him. And if you don't know him, you don't love him. And if you don't love him, you don't serve him. And if you don't serve him, you serve Satan. And in the end, that means you are just enjoying sin, whether it be venial or worse yet, mortal. And you can't necessarily even see past the sins. As I reminded the faithful last Wednesday at our Lent Wednesday session, sometimes when you're getting stuck in sin, you have to acknowledge the fact that you are so attached to it that you don't have the courage to leave it behind. Because that's often what it comes down to. When you're in habitual sin, you don't have the courage to leave it behind. You think you have to have it. That's because you don't know Christ and you don't have confidence in him. And remember, if love is there, if it's true, it's of God, it always fosters courage. Therefore, you give up something that is sinful because you love Christ, not because you're simply afraid of hell. There are veils that cover everything. Isaiah promises in his prophecy, referring to the Messiah, that the veils will be lifted. And as we see on Good Friday, the veil in the temple is torn in two. The only mystery that's left in the world is the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of evil. And that's because we should never penetrate it. Adam and Eve did, which is why they sinned. But we should stay a respectful distance from evil and trust the goodness of God. Yes, things in the church are veiled. And it's an opportunity for you to actually, if you haven't done it, to pull back a little bit from your love of the world, from your duty to the world, from your obsession with the world. And to actually use what time is left during Lent to place Christ first for only a week and a few days before Holy Week begins in earnest on Holy Thursday. If you haven't been doing a real Lenten observance for increasing your spiritual life, do it now. It's never too late. Actually put Him first now. It's never too late. And then you'll understand the sacramental reality of what goes on at Holy Week, that it's not some simple you coming to observe a ritual. It's you sacramentally participating in every moment of our Lord suffering and death from the beginning at the Last Supper to the horror of Good Friday, the cold silence of Holy Saturday when He's in the tomb, and the glory of the resurrection on Easter Vigil night, because we do it the night before, because we as Catholics are so in love with the Christ that we don't want to wait till Easter morning to celebrate His conquering sin and death. So that's the point, isn't it? Either things are veiled for you because you have not embraced Christ and He's withdrawn from you, which means that's Him calling you, if you love Him, to make the effort to get closer to Him, or you are close to Him and you're recognizing the veil that the evil one has put over all the sacramental realities of the church and the goodness in the world. Either way, all you need do is trust the victorious Christ. Serve Him above all else. See the crucifix for what it is, veiled today, but revealed on Good Friday as our only hope and the symbol of conquest over sin and death, over the devil himself. Yes, remember, you heard in the gospel today, Jesus calls Satan the ruler of the world. You live for the world, you live for Satan. You live for Christ, and your relationship to the world is quite different, quite unique. And you look like a veiled individual to people of the world. You come off as mysterious. And indeed, that's the whole point of the Catholic layman. He lives life so differently than everyone else that everyone else, are intrigued by the one that you serve, by the one that makes your life look so different, by the one that indeed makes your life filled with true, authentic charity. Don't stay at a distance. Run to the Christ. Don't get overwhelmed by all the evil. Embrace the Christ. Be mindful of what He's affording us, and let us be particularly intentional and deliberate in the celebration of the Triduum this year, especially since a good number of you missed it last year. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.